Savitri, Book 1, The Book of Beginnings, Canto 3, The Yoga of the King, The Yoga of the Soul's Release. This is the fourth and last part of Canto 3, and it's on pages 39 to 45. Now Aswapati, the great yogi and king, is completing his own spiritual self-fulfillment, his psycho-spiritual transformation. Afterwards, he will go on to other things, but this is his personal movement. Towards the end of this part of Canto 3, Sri Aurobindo writes, "Thus came his soul's release from ignorance, his mind and body's first spiritual change." And here, in this last part of the canto, we'll mostly see the great things that Aswapati experiences and the incredible things that he sees and knows. We have seen how the different forces have shaped him, and that's mostly over, but Sri Aurobindo tells us about one last power that works to change him. And he says, quote, "The inspiring goddess entered a mortal's breast, made there her study of divining thought and sanctuary of prophetic speech, and sat upon the tripod seat of mind. All was made wide above, all lit below." As Aswapati's experiences increase and increase, and his powers increase and increase, Sri Aurobindo says, quote, "A wiser word, a larger thought came in than what the slow labor of human mind can bring. A secret sense awoke that could perceive a presence and a greatness everywhere." And then Sri Aurobindo speaks a little bit about a change in the physical body's consciousness. He says, quote, "Even his body's subtle self within could raise the earthly parts towards higher things, and feel on it the breath of heavenly air. Already it journeyed towards divinity." Richard found us this entry in the Record of Yoga on December 18th, 1912, where Sri Aurobindo relates his own experience. His subtle body's laws are now able to function in his physical substance. And this is what he says. "This defect of subtlety in the mere physical substance continues, but has no real effect, because the life sheath of the vital body and the physical nervous system liberate themselves more and more from the mere physical experiences and accept more and more the law of the subtle body." Here in this canto, we have one of the few rare times that Sri Aurobindo uses the words overmind or supermind in Savitri. Here he writes overmind, and he uses it in a context which indicates that the supermind is beyond the overmind. He writes here, "The radiant world of everlasting truth glimmered like a faint star bordering the night above the golden overmind's shimmering ridge." After Sri Aurobindo's experience of Krishna consciousness and his attaining of a very great spiritual goal on November 24, 1926, at which time he retired to his room and didn't come out again but continued only doing his sadhana in his room, he wrote in his diary, "On January 16th, 1927, a little over 3 weeks later," he wrote this, "The divine power working out of the supreme self in the union of telepathy, knowledge of the past, present, and future, and the concentration of the power of consciousness, that which is above the telepathic and above the willed direct knowledge of the past, present, and future, the perfection of the knowledge of the past, present, and future, and above the combination of these things is beginning to manifest, but only as a kind of occasional point or star above the massed movement. Sri Aurobindo uses two particular words which are not too familiar in spoken English. One is French. He says that, left in the chantiers of the bottomless world and stolen by the robbers of the deep, the golden shekels of the eternal lie. Most people are familiar with the word shekel, which is a word used in ancient time for coins, but the place they are left, called chantiers, is somewhat surprising. Chantier means a building site. It means something like a shipyard. And it's also used in a phrase, mettre en chantier, which means to get things started. So it gives this sentence that he writes in this canto a very particular meaning. Then Sri Aurobindo says that these golden shekels are locked away from men in blind anters of the ignorant flood. Anters is in the English dictionary, and it means caves. At the end of this canto, when Sri Aurobindo describes what Aswapati is now doing, it sounds like his own work here. He says Aswapati lived in spirit's immensities, and that he was a demigod shaping the lives of men. One soul's ambition lifted up the race. A power worked, but none knew whence it came. And he also says, he made great dreams a mold for coming things, and cast his deeds like bronze to front the years. So now here we are in the last part of Canto 3. Above the reason's brilliant slender curve, released like radiant air, dimming a moon, broad spaces of a vision without line or limit swam into his spirit's ken. Oceans of being met his voyaging soul, calling to infinite discovery. Timeless domains of joy and absolute power stretched out, surrounded by the eternal hush. The ways that lead to endless happiness ran like dream smiles through meditating vasts. Disclosed, stood up in a gold moment's place, white sun steps in the pathless infinite. Along a naked curve in bornless self, the points that run through the closed heart of things shadowed the interminable line that carries the everlasting through the years. The magician order of the cosmic mind, coercing the freedom of infinity with the stark array of nature's symbol facts and life's incessant signals of event, transmuted chance recurrences into laws, a chaos of signs into a universe. Out of the rich wonders and the intricate whirls of the spirit's dance with matter as its mask, the balance of the world's design grew clear. Its symmetry of self-arranged effects, managed in the deep perspectives of the soul, and the realism of its elusive art, its logic of infinite intelligence, its magic of a changing eternity. A glimpse was caught of things forever unknown. The letters stood out of the unmoving word. In the immutable nameless origin was seen, emerging as from fathomless seas, the trail of the ideas that made the world. And sown in the black earth of nature's trance, the seed of the spirit's blind and huge desire, from which the tree of cosmos was conceived and spread its magic arms through a dream of space. Immense realities took on a shape. They looked out from the shadow of the unknown, the bodiless namelessness that saw God born, and tries to gain from the mortal's mind and soul a deathless body and a divine name. The immobile lips, the great surreal wings, the visage masked by superconscious sleep, the eyes with their closed lids that see all things, appeared of the architect who builds in trance. The original desire, born in the void, peered out. He saw the hope that never sleeps, the feet that run behind a fleeting fate, the ineffable meaning of the endless dream. Hardly for a moment glimpsed, viewless to mind, as if a torch held by a power of God, the radiant world of the everlasting truth glimmered like a faint star bordering the night above the golden overmind's shimmering ridge. Even were caught, as through a cunning veil, the smile of love that sanctions the long game, the calm indulgence, and maternal breasts of wisdom suckling the child laughter of chance. Silence, the nurse of the Almighty's power, the omniscient hush, womb of the immortal word, and of the timeless, the still brooding face, and the creative eye of eternity. The inspiring goddess entered a mortal's breast, made there her study of divining thought, and sanctuary of prophetic speech, and sat upon the tripod seat of mind. All was made wide above, all lit below. In darkness core, she dug out wells of light. On the undiscovered depths, imposed a form, lent a vibrant cry to the unuttered vasts, and through great, shoreless, voiceless, starless breadths bore earthward fragments of revealing thought hewn from the silence of the ineffable. A voice in the heart uttered the unspoken name. A dream of seeking thought, wandering through space, entered the invisible and forbidden house. The treasure was found of a supernal day. In the deep subconscient glowed her jewel lamp. Lifted, it showed the riches of the cave, where, by the miser traffickers of sense unused, guarded beneath night's dragon paws, in folds of velvet darkness draped, they sleep, whose priceless value could have saved the world. A darkness, carrying morning in its breast, looked for the eternal wide returning gleam, waiting the advent of a larger ray and rescue of the lost herds of the sun. In a splendid extravagance of the waste of God, dropped carelessly in creation's spendthrift work, left in the chantiers of the bottomless world, and stolen by the robbers of the deep, the golden shekels of the eternal lie, hoarded from touch and view and thought's desire, locked in blind antres of the ignorant flood, lest men should find them and be even as gods. A vision lightened on the viewless heights, a wisdom illumined from the voiceless depths, a deeper interpretation greatened truth, a grand reversal of the night and day. All the world's values changed, heightening life's aim. A wiser word, a larger thought came in than what the slow labor of human mind can bring. A secret sense awoke that could perceive a presence and a greatness everywhere. The universe was not now this senseless whirl, borne round inert on an immense machine. it cast away its grandiose, lifeless front. A mechanism no more, or a work of chance, but a living movement of the body of God. A spirit, hid in forces and in forms, was the spectator of the mobile scene. The beauty and the ceaseless miracle lit in a glow of the unmanifest. The formless everlasting moved in it, seeking its own perfect form in souls and things. Life kept no more a dull and meaningless shape. In the struggle and upheaval of the world, he saw the labor of a Godhead's birth. A secret knowledge masked as ignorance. Fate covered with an unseen necessity, the game of chance, of an omnipotent will. A glory and a rapture and a charm, the all blissful sat unknown within the heart. Earth's pains were the ransom of its prisoned delight. A glad communion tinged the passing hours. The days were travelers on a distant road, the nights companions of his musing spirit. A heavenly impetus quickened all his breast. The trudge of time changed to a splendid march. The divine dwarf towered to unconquered worlds. Earth grew too narrow for his victory. Once only registering the heavy tread of a blind power on human littleness, life now became a sure approach to God. Existence, a divine experiment, and cosmos, the soul's opportunity. The world was a conception and a birth of spirit in matter into living forms, and nature bore the immortal in her womb that she might climb through him to eternal life. His being lay down in bright immobile peace and bathed in wells of pure spiritual light. It wandered in wide fields of wisdom self, lit by the rays of an everlasting sun. Even his body's subtle self within could raise the earthly parts toward higher things and feel on it the breath of heavenlier air. Already, it journeyed towards divinity. A buoyed upon winged winds of rapid joy, upheld to a light it could not always hold, it left mind's distance from the truth supreme and lost life's incapacity for bliss. All now suppressed in us began to emerge. Thus came his soul's release from ignorance, his mind and body's first spiritual change. A wide God knowledge poured down from above, a new world knowledge broadened from within. His daily thoughts looked up to the true and one, his commonest doings welled from an inner light. Awakened to the lines that nature hides, attuned to her movements that exceed our ken, he grew one with a covert universe. His grasp surprised her mightiest energy springs. He spoke with the unknown guardians of the worlds. Forms he descried, our mortal eyes see not. His wide eyes bodied viewless entities. He saw the cosmic forces at their work and felt the occult impulse behind man's will. Time's secrets were to him an oft-read book. The records of the future and the past outlined their excerpts on the etheric page. one and harmonious by the Maker's skill, the human in him paced with the divine. His acts betrayed not the interior flame. This forged the greatness of his front to earth. A genius heightened in his body's cells that knew the meaning of his fate-hedged works, akin to the march of unaccomplished powers beyond life's arc in spirit's immensities. Apart he lived in his mind's solitude, a demigod shaping the lives of men. One soul's ambition lifted up the race. A power worked, but none knew whence it came. The universal strengths were linked with his, filling earth's smallness with their boundless breadths. He drew the energies that transmute and age. Immeasurable by the common look, he made great dreams a mold for coming things, and cast his deeds like bronze to front the years. His walk through time outstripped the human stride, lonely his days, and splendid like the sun's.